The game is in the books, and the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remiliotis.
To kick off a four-game homestand and eight of the next nine here in this building after the Blackhawks came off a season-long six-game road trip. Going to bring in Steve Conrad. We got a tight postgame show tonight, only going up to midnight because of the extended pregame show and the late puck drop here in Chicago. So, Steve, Simone Nemitz, I mean, what a game for the New Jersey Devils defenseman. I was just looking this up as you guys were recapping the game. He had six goals in 103 career games going into tonight. He ends up getting half of that, half of that in tonight's game alone. Unfortunately, the Blackhawks weren't able to get that second point in overtime.
Yeah, they weren't. It's funny, I talked to Brad Shaw. He's an assistant coach with the New Jersey Devils prior to the game. He's in charge of the defensemen, and I played with him in Hartford a little bit with the Ottawa Senators, too. Great coach. Great. He's been coaching for 26, 27 years now, and he talked about the fact they were without three defensemen, and all three defensemen, important guys to the team, all right shots, and Simon Nemitz, a right-shot defenseman. So he's probably getting some extra minutes, and certainly tonight he earned them. The hat trick, I thought the overtime goal was spectacular, just the fact that, you know, Jacob Markstrom, the goaltender, makes a 125-foot pass up ice, and then Nemitz. Not many guys beat Spencer Knight cleanly, and he beat him cleanly over the glove just inside that far right post. So that was nice. And when you look at it now, you know, New Jersey 4-1 in overtime. So they've been involved in some, you know, five games now of their first, 17 now have gone to overtime. They've won four of them. So a little more experience there, maybe winning in the Blackhawks. I believe they're 1-4 now in overtime games. So, I think it'll be interesting to listen to Jeff Blashill tonight, head coach of the Blackhawks. I don't think he's going to be happy with the effort. I just think, you know, after two periods I was looking, the Blackhawks had 10 giveaways. And add the fact, too, New Jersey had six takeaways. So 16 times in the first 40 minutes, Chicago had the puck, and seconds later, it was New Jersey with the puck. So I don't think he's going to be happy with the way that they managed the puck. It just didn't seem like the last few games the Blackhawks had played.
Yeah, it felt like the first period was okay for Chicago, but then the second period on is where things really tilted in New Jersey's favor. And you can look at the shot attempts, the scoring chances. I mean, New Jersey is a fast team. There was a lot of speed on the ice for both sides. Yeah. And it was actually interesting to see Jeff Blashill put Oliver Moore out there for the start of overtime, because New Jersey has some speedy players on their roster. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows the confidence that Blashill has in Moore, but also like Moore's like, hey, or Blashill's saying Moore is one of the guys that he can go toe to toe speed wise with some of the New Jersey Devils players. I was rewatching just the overtime goal, and it looked like Bedard and Teräväinen were out there for a little bit, and so they end up darting to the Chicago bench. And Artem Levchinov, it looked like he was a little hesitant on whether or not to hold the blue line or get aggressive. And he got aggressive in going skating up to the neutral zone, and that's what left it wide open, because Donato wasn't able to catch Nemitz in time. And
late
so,
coming on the ice.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things where it's the growing pains of a young defenseman. I know we were really pumping the tires of Levchinov in the pregame show of how he's been playing lately, points in six of the last seven. He starts overtime in this game for the Blackhawks with Moore and Bedard, and I think they want to start giving him more of that heavy responsibility, and you're just going to have to work through some of the growing pains like a game like today.
Yeah, and I mean, that's how you learn, and obviously the coaching staff has tons of faith in him, and he'll get better for this experience. I was a little surprised. I don't know if you noticed it, but at one point we had Vlasic and Grizzlick out there with a forward, and typically you have two forwards and a defenseman.
Yes.
I don't know if that was by design. Not that it cost them the game. That happened earlier in the overtime, but not very often you get a couple of defensemen out there. It might have been Ryan Donato, the only forward out there up front, but that did not lead to the overtime goal. But that's something you've got to keep in mind when, you know, if you're Bedard, who was the other guy who went off the ice? Was it Teräväinen?
Yeah.
That even though you get the puck deep, if you see the netminder coming out, maybe it's a better idea just one guy change, one guy stay on the ice, just so you've got a little more support out there. So something to learn from, certainly.
I did notice when they went with two defensemen, and it was Moore and Bedard that were out there, and they were gassed, and so they dart to the bench, but Lefshinov wasn't able to get out there, and he was gassed too, so that they threw Vlasic out there as the second defenseman. Mikheyev comes out, but then when Lefshinov was able to get out, another then Grizzly defenseman came out. So I thought Vlasic was just out there to just go relieve, go relieve Lefshinov because he was gassed.
Yeah.
But then they did, they put out Grizzly for, and so they did go with two defensemen. I wonder if it would have been a, we get possession of the puck, then one of them darts.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was really impressed with, I don't know if you saw, a couple of separate rushes by Oliver Moore. And he's got a lot of juice. He's got a lot of energy because, he'd been out there for 45 seconds and he was leading another rush, which was very impressive.
I was hoping he would have taken that one play to the net because I don't think New Jersey defenseman, I can't remember who it was, I don't think he realized how fast Oliver Moore was.
Right.
And so he could have caught him by surprise if he ended up, but then he turned away and skated to kind of regroup.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, he could have just turned on the Jets. Yeah. And because there's not enough tape on there, there's not enough videotape yet of Oliver Moore, so he's not on the radar of NHL teams of a guy like you really have to watch out for. A play like that, if he would have done that, it would have been like, oh, okay, be careful. But
he's one of those guys that's got an extra gear, and sometimes you think, okay, I've got this guy, and then all of a sudden he throws it into sixth gear. Oliver Moore certainly has that sixth gear, and he's going to surprise a lot of guys this year.
Sam Lafferty submits his goal of the year candidate in the third period with 6:26 left. And then how about Landon Slaggart scoring in the third period as well?
Yeah.
Those are two guys. Slaggart goes down to the minors for a couple games. He draws into the lineup because Andrei Burakovsky wasn't able to play tonight. If that didn't happen, Slaggart would still be down at Rockford. So that had to feel really nice for him. And then Lafferty, not just scoring the first goal of the season, the go-ahead goal that late in the game, but the way he did it. Mm. I was staring at the Chicago bench when they were putting the replay up. Not one player was sitting down. They all had their heads up waiting to watch the replay, and as soon as the replay hit, they all just collectively gasped. And so nice to see Slaggart and Lafferty both break through. I know it comes in an overtime loss, but that had to feel good for both of them to score their first of the season.
Well, let's talk about Lafferty's goal because that was against Luke Hughes. And Luke Hughes, he's not an elite defensive defenseman, but he's a great skater. He knows his angles. And for Lafferty to pull that, kind of toe drag, jump inside a guy, and then to have the patience to hold on to the puck. He could have shot it right away on Markstrom,
yeah,
but he waited, and he waited, and he waited a little more. And I think he hurt Markstrom because the trainer had to come out to see Markstrom after he put it in the empty net. Might have pulled a groin or something. But, that'll do a lot for his confidence, as will the goal for Landon Slaggart. I know it was a redirection in front, but I just noticed after that goal, he had a little extra jump in his step. He had a little more juice. That'll help him an awful lot.
What could have been the game-winning goal of the night, Sam Lafferty, with just an amazing effort to beat Jacob Markstrom. That was not only his first goal of the season, but his first point of the season. So nice for him to find the back of the net. I know it's been a real tough start for him, just finding him as the extra forward, as the Hawks have leaned more on the 11-7. So let's hear what Sam Lafferty had to say after this 4-3 loss and his overtime go-ahead goal in that third period.
Started with a great wall play by Pliggy, so that allowed me to just blow out of the zone, and from there, kind of instincts took over, and luckily enough, it went in.
How has this season been for you? I mean, just in terms of trying to be patient, or just dealing with being in and out of the lineup and taking advantage of the opportunities when you do get them.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely challenging. It's something I've been through a little bit in my career, so I can draw on that experience. But at the end of the day, the team's having success, so you just want to support that any way possible. And we didn't have our best stuff tonight, but I like the way we're trending, and we just got to keep building. The game plan's there. I think we just need a little more consistency throughout, and I just think we'll keep getting better.
And that goal is a key. It seemed like you awaited the finger and then just knew that you had to elevate the puck
at the end. I think just cut to the middle and then the ice kind of opened up from there. But the play never happens if Lee doesn't make it an excellent play on the wall. Won the battle and then made a hard play to get deep out of the zone, and pretty easy for me just to skate onto it from there.
Your play tonight, the last few games, are you hoping that can show the coaches that need to be in the lineup more?
I hope so. I think you know, we can ideally be a good identity line. We can wear teams down in the offensive zone, you know, just the way Fliggy plays, Slaggy, you know, Docker, whoever it is, on that fourth line. And, yeah, again, I don't think we had our best stuff tonight, but I think we can wear teams down in the O zone and just bring momentum every time we go over the boards. That's the goal, so that's what we're working towards.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Sam Lafferty. Let's get to tonight's Ice Times, which are sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Teuvo Teravainen led the way for the Blackhawks with exactly 25 minutes of ice time in this game. Connor Bedard was behind him at 23:23, Ilya Mikheyev 23:02, and how about Ryan Green? He was put at 20 minutes and 45 seconds of ice time, so that's really high up there for Ryan Green. So a lot of forwards had 20 plus minutes in this game for the Blackhawks. Let's hear what the Blackhawks captain had to say after this 4-3 overtime loss to New Jersey.
The goal, as far as what you guys were giving up, did you feel like you were giving up maybe too much in transition? Right.
Yeah, I think they obviously have some dangerous players over there, but you know, let's just call it. It wasn't our best game tonight, right? We just didn't have our A game, and I thought we competed hard and, you know, find a way to get a point, and that's important coming off a road trip where sometimes these are little trap games, they call them, but no excuse, obviously. We need to find a better game, and we just didn't have the energy or the... But it was weird because we did compete, but just seemed like the energy to make the simple plays or just the sharpness that we normally play with that just seemed missing a little bit. So, you know, it's a tough one because you want to win, and especially having a lead like we had a few times, and you know, to grind out a point, and you know, we got to come ready with a ton of energy for Saturday's game.
You mentioned the goal, and I mean, Sam has been very patient and has to, you know, deal with going in and out of the lineup, and just what a statement from him with that goal tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge goal at the time too, yeah. Right? I think the biggest thing I'm taking away from Laff is just he's a great teammate and great pro. And it's not an easy situation that he's obviously in, but he's handled it with, you know, such class, and is a reason why all the guys cheer for him and want him on this team. So, you know, that was awesome to see, and it was a huge goal, a big moment for our team, and you just wish it kind of stuck and was the game winner. But, you know, he makes plays like that, it'll be hard to take him out. So it's awesome to see, and, you know, we got to find a way to bring more plays like that from every guy.
With Murkowski and Nazar and Dickinson out, and obviously you guys aren't going to be healthy all year, but how important is it to get the depth scoring, and if this team's going to, you know, compete, the beat teams, or to compete, yeah, or even get points games out of like this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our line especially knows the role that we're in, right? We need to be a heavy line and make sure we're responsible in our end, and then, you know, if you pitch in with some goals, it's a bonus, right? And but we have to be heavy and playing in there, and I think, you know, when we do that, there's no reason why we can't get our opportunities to score either. We're all, you know, guys that can put the puck in the net and can be around it, and so that's part of, you know, depth scoring and being that team where maybe your big boys are checked really well that night or just don't have their A game, and so it was nice to kind of contribute that way, but be nicer in a win. And I think that's just something as we grow and get better and more used to these winning situations, we'll get better in.
What does it say about this team compared to the last couple of years that you're down three guys, you don't have your A game or maybe the best energy, and you're still in overtime competing with a team that came in with the best record in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, no, I think that's the hard part for me because I told you I don't really love moral victories, and I'm not, but it's hard not to say that, yeah, we've grown, right? Like, this is a game that probably years previous that I've been here, we would have lost by three or four because it would have just crumbled on us. So I'm encouraged by that, but I still don't want to be okay with not winning this game, right? And so that's the message in here is, like, good job battling, and you know, we didn't have our best and maybe missing some guys, but every team misses players, and every team doesn't have their best, but the good teams find ways to win, and that's the message. And just this, maybe the bad taste in everyone's mouth is, even though we didn't have our best, we should still find a way to win, and we got to get to that, to being that team, and that'll be pretty exciting when we do.
Is there a reason why the second period have been...
I don't know. You know what? It's something we actually talked about, just like in as a group here. Just, you know, it's unacceptable. I don't know if we just take a breath because we're, you know, and don't realize they're going to push, and maybe they make some adjustments that we're late to recognize as players. But the coaches prepare us, and that's on us, though, as players, to be ready for that second period, because we know it's a little bit of a lull for us right now. It's unacceptable, and, you know, maybe we get that sorted out, and, you know, our third periods have been outstanding, and, you know, we take over games right away. So it's an area we're going to definitely talk about and have to be a little more conscious of as players.
All right, that was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. We talked about that second period specifically. The Hawks are now -7 goal differential in the second periods this season. They went into this game with a +6 differential in the first and a +14 goal differential in the third. So +20 in the first and thirds combined, -7 now in the second period. So that's certainly a period that the Hawks want to get cleaned up. Let's head over to the Rockford Ice Hogs, where they got one of their goaltenders back. Stan Berezinoi returned to the lineup over the weekend after missing the last 3 weeks with an injury. He stopped 28 of 30 shots in a win over Iowa last weekend, and he's now in a very limited sample size, but in his three starts this season, he's 3-0, 1.98 goals against average, and a .941 save percentage. Only 6 goals allowed on 111 shots, or on 101 shots, so 95 saves, .941 save percentage. He's a big goaltender, Berezinoi. I was next to him in the Minnesota Rookie Showcase, and boy, he is big. 6'4", 218 pounds. He signed his entry-level contract with the Blackhawks in July, and so really curious to see the prospects of Berezinoi as the Blackhawks' goaltending pipeline continues to strengthen. Time now for the next game preview. Sponsored by Plumbers, 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks are going to be back at the United Center in action on Saturday night. It is going to be Centennial Celebration Night. Fittingly, the Toronto Maple Leafs will be in town, so it'll be an Original Six matchup. Quickly, Austin Matthews and Anthony Stolarz left the game yesterday for Toronto with injuries, so it's unclear if they are going to be available for the Maple Leafs on Saturday night. They are hosting LA tomorrow, so we should get an update on their status, but something to monitor going into Saturday night's game. But yeah, Centennial Celebration Night on Saturday. Pre-game ceremony. Get here early if you're coming to the game, because it should be a really special one.